You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Every natural principle is set in place to show us or give us a revelation of a spiritual one. And to me, that is the church. We are to be that team. Jesus didn't do it alone. He had a team. And that is exactly what he showed us. And then he said, edify, build up my church. We are all called into ministry. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And can you just say, that's right? You know, because amen means so be it, and that's well. But can you say, that's right? We are all called into ministry. And you know, I thank God for the apostle and the prophet, and the evangelist, the pastor and teacher. But it's every one of us as believers that are called into ministry to get the work done. I love the principle that we can learn, and it's in the book, about the geese. The fact that, I mean, you know, they know where they're going. They've got a direction. Somebody has given them that direction. We know in our spirit the direction we need, but we can't all be out there in front at every step of the way. And we've had to learn that in order, even in our ministry, to grow. We visit over 260 communities every year to do social outwork we call Life in Action. And we're doing, you know, many different things. You can look us up and check that out. But there's no way that I can do all that. We visit every one of our 75 churches as they grow anywhere from 3 to 6 per year. We visit every one of those churches every month. I can't do that by myself. So we have these teams, if you will, set in place so we understand that everyone is called to find a need. You know, and here's the thing. If we realize the purpose of our faith is not for us, but rather to meet the needs of others, that is how it comes back to us. If we could just realize that our ministry is called to meet the needs of others, when we find that need, we spend our resources, we spend our faith to meet the need for that person. Subsequently, we change families, we change communities, we can change a nation. And we believe we're changing a nation because we are setting in motion a principle with each one of these young people, each one of these different communities are entirely new communities now because they understand that as together they can serve and work for one another and meet the needs of one another. Are you with me? Are we still here? We need another sip of Spirit Bucks. See, we have to understand that there is a spiritual goal. We do want to reach the souls of every person, if we can, on the planet. But you know, we're not going to do that until we can reach their physical needs, their emotional needs. When we do that, once we let them know that we care about them, it's easy.
That's good.
Really, it's easy. People will never turn away your desire to meet their need when it's no cost to them. We always try to get them to live with the spiritual principles that we've been taught the day after the first time we meet them. We need to come in and we need to let them know that it takes a team to share the gospel so the entire world can begin to understand it's by His love. Are you with me? See, we have to reach people where they hurt before we can reach them what they really need. See, you were talking this morning about the Peter. He didn't give what the guy was asking for. He was asking for money. I mean, if Peter would have given him money, that would have been all he had. See, what he needed was a healing. I'm sure if you ask him, money, walking. Walking's better. See, Jesus knows what we need, but we have to be the ones willing to be the messenger to get that out. So we got to reach them where they hurt. Are you with me? And I love the story of Peter. I want to talk a little bit about Peter, teamwork, ministry, and all of us working together. And we got to do that all before, it's our responsibility to break out bread and fish to feed you because you're so famished you can't get home to eat. Are you with me? So are you all right? Smile. You're scaring the life out of me. There you go. Even if it's fake, just smile once. There you go. You guys are great fakers. Awesome. But I love the story. I've been looking at Peter and actually a lot lately. Peter is a unique character. A lot of good qualities and, you know, a lot of them like us. I said he's got a lot of good qualities and he's got a lot of qualities like we do.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing of it is he was called from fishing to ministry. And then I'm gonna put plant an idea. Then he was called from ministry to re-ministry. Okay? I want you to think about that for a minute as we go. He was called from fishing to ministry, and then he was called from ministry to re-ministry. I don't know how many times I've been called to ministry. Recalled to ministry. Because if I was doing today what I was doing when I was called into ministry, I'd just be doing those same things. So we need to realize that Jesus has for us a recalling. It's a recall. I know. I'm not the teacher. We're not doctrinally. Which I'm just saying we can find that we're going to end up being recalled, retrained, prepared to be sent back out. And are you with me? It started, you know, in Matthew chapter 4. And, you know, we're not going to go to all that. We'll let the teacher do all that. But one day as Jesus was walking along the shore, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, and throwing a net in the water because they fish for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Hey, come and follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." I love that. And then what did they do? Well, let me go think about that. Check with, you know, my dad and a business owner, and let me just kind of give some consider. No, they left their nets immediately and followed Jesus. I mean, there had to be something. I mean, the first time you ever meet Jesus, I mean, this is Jesus, this is God in the flesh, no difference looking at him than me and you. And this guy walks up for the first time and says, "Hey, how would you like to follow me and I'll make you fishers of people?" I mean, what is that? I mean, does anybody know what that is? Okay, let's go. There had to be something about that call. Something that just said, you know what, wow. Man, I don't know how it is for you and how it was for you, but I mean, I can remember when it's like, oh, and been at church and hearing the message and all that. I could quote the scriptures and I could probably preach better than the preacher, at least from the chair. Oh, I said that again. I could always preach better than the preacher when I was sitting in the chair. I mean, you know, come on. What is that? Why does he keep saying that all the time? You know, like, hello? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Anyway, but I know when there was just like, all of a sudden, there was like, oh, what, he's talking to me. There had to have been something about that. That call that drew Peter and Andrew from their profession to the ministry. Now, see, that's the problem. We have too many Christians that are still professionals. I mean, it's great that you're doing that we do what we do, but we have to realize that our profession needs to be turned into the ministry. See, Jesus always calls us from where we are. I don't know if you... That means a lot to me. I don't know if you're with me. He calls us from where we are. Are you fishing? Are you farming? Are you a business person? He calls us from where we are. Well, where are you today? Well, you're not where you were. So he calls us from where we are. And what he does is he uses what we do for the kingdom. That's why we've got to stop being professional and start being ministers. We have to be in the ministry. Well, I can be a business and be in the ministry. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You can farm and be in the ministry. It's a change of heart. It's that call. It's when something like all of a sudden just changes. Okay, I'm leaving that and I'm doing this. Because it's a purpose. We can talk about meeting people's needs. But if you just do it because it's the obligation, we go back to the law and there's no effect. But when we do it because, not because, oh, God's going to bless me when I help somebody else. No, the blessing is in helping somebody else. Hello? Listen, here's the gospel. This is our ministry, statement. Find the need, meet the need, change the nation. By the way, that's the gospel. God said, there's a need. I'm going to do what I got to do to meet the need to change the world. It cost him his, if you will, his sovereignty for a while. It's like, I'm going to live in this limitless, limited body to expose the limitlessness of the life that we have in Christ. And we still don't get it. Okay. That's okay. But see, God calls us from what we are, what we're doing, to do it for His kingdom. I mean, I didn't realize it at the time. I mean, I was just trying to, in church and work with the young people and some of the kids that were helpless and on the street. And, I was a manager in a business that's just what I was doing. Well, that's what I'm still doing. Only now it's not 10 or 20 kids on the street. It's 600 of them, and they're not on the street anymore. They're living at my place. And hello? And then, we're not just going out and doing a couple of events. We're doing like three a week. And are you with me? But it's still the same thing. Now I'm just doing it for the kingdom. Now, I have some thoughts. My thoughts. I'm going to repeat that. These are some of my thoughts on Peter. Because I think, my belief is Peter had some internal issues. I'm serious. I mean, he had a personal war of some kind going on. I mean, don't we all? Number one, don't we all? So, I mean, I should be safe to say we all do. So I'm sure Peter did as well. But, I mean, I draw this conclusion from the fact that he could not keep his eyes on Jesus while walking on the water. Hello. How did you get there in the first place? Don't look at me so holy. God has done some pretty remarkable things in our life, and yet we still have a tendency to get our eyes off of Him when there's some stuff going on. I mean, you gotta be nuts in the head. When you're walking on water, you don't take your eyes off of Jesus. But unless you have some internal issues. I mean, if that isn't enough, how many knows that Peter saw some miracles? He carried some of those baskets. Wait a minute. He performed some miracles. He heard the vision of Jesus every day. He was one of the three that got to go in the secret place to hear all of the little wow. And still, when it was time to defend the cause, he drew his sword. Come on. He drew his sword. I'll take care of this. And then when it all came down to identifying himself with Jesus, what did he do? Denied him vehemently three times. Some internal issues. He missed the vision. He left from being a fisher to be a fisher of men. Saw all of it in action. Come on, are you with me? And I mean, when it came time to put the proof in the pudding, as they say, there wasn't any. How many would feel a little bummed? How many have felt a little condemned? Man, I know the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Well, I got news for you. There's some condemnation. It just doesn't come from Christ Jesus.
That's right. That's it.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. There is condemnation. That's the number one tool. Guess what? Religion creates condemnation. That's where it comes from. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm trying to get some things going on here. So, then after the resurrection, in John 21... several disciples were together. Peter, of course, was one of them. And he said, you know what? I'm going fishing. I mean, everything else has gone to you know where. I don't know what y'all say here, so I don't want to get myself in trouble. Gone to pot. It's very difficult for me to speak in English right now. I want to preach in Spanish. But are you with me? So Peter says, hey, I'm going fishing. Some of the other guys says, good idea. Let's go. I mean, what else are we going to do? I mean, we only spent the last 3.5 years being trained in ministry, but there's nothing we can do now. Wasn't it, aren't we should be blessed that Jesus didn't say it was finished and then go on. It's a good thing he spent some time and got back, visited with the disciples 3 or 4 times.
Yeah,
what is it, teacher? 3 times?
Yeah,
how many, yeah, 3. I'm feeling good. And so they went fishing. Then they were out all night. They caught nothing.
Yeah.
And, I know it's nothing, but I mean it's nothing. They caught diddly squat all night. Professional fishermen. Hello. Remember, we all have these battles on the inside. Don't lose sight of the battles. In fact, if I may suggest, we all tend to have a battle of going back to fishing. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. When I think back now, working as a manager in business, it was like, I'd love to go back to do that. And that was easy. So it seems. I'm going to say something and I'm going to repeat it so you get it, but you can never go back. It ain't what you think it was. You just forgot what it was really like. And you really can't go back anywho. You just cannot go back. But it's because, they fished all night and caught what?
Nothing.
Nada. That way I got a Spanish word in there. That way, huh? Or maybe they just wanted to go back to something more routine. See, routine is synonymous with religion. You'll find out that I'm not a real fan of religion. Something more comfortable. More to the point, something that requires less faith. In fact, to me, this whole situation, really, if you look at it, it's really suggesting much more than just going back to fishing or doing something we like. I think it deals more with the attitude that we begin to have when our plans don't go as expected. Come on. What happened to that call? That moment when you were called and it was like, oh, God wants to use me. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Jesus, use me. And it was like nothing. And then when you get a chance, I don't know, I can't do that. When Jesus gave them the opportunity, because that's what happened with the whole crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus was giving them the opportunity. What'd they do? Oh, went back to fishing. I'm going to do something that's just easy, routine, I can do this. But they couldn't even do that. This is a very deep situation. Maybe they just was looking for a life without that inner struggle. See, whatever. Come on. Why are we looking for a life with no inner struggle? That's just going to be part of our life. We ain't arrived and we ain't gonna until we stop breathing. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to eternity. I'm just, I'm prepared. I'm just not ready. There's a whole lot yet to do. I realize that, hey, I could spend the next 100 years and just barely scratch the surface of changing a nation. Hello? I got all eternity to do eternity. It'll happen by default. Are you with me? I don't mean to discourage you. I'm just saying, you're going to get to eternity. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Let's just do all we can do on our way there. We're not going to get away from this inner struggle. We're always going to have it. When we try to go back to the things the way they were, we find that they're no longer the way they were. We don't feel the same way that we felt before. We cannot even do work or ministry the same way we did it before. You know what? I'm done with Honduras. I'm done with Arbol de Vida. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to be a youth pastor, a missions pastor in a local church. You know what? It's not going to work. And there have been times in the past I've thought of that. You know, this could be really cool. A paycheck. That might be cool. You know, that'd be awesome. You know, go on mission trips and then, you know, church pays for it. And I'm sure I could probably find one that would do that. But it's not going to be. Are you with me? We've always got to be striving for the re-ministry. Do we have time to finish? Okay, listen. We have got to realize we must move forward and leave the past in the past. I mean, has anyone intentionally ever dug something that was dead and buried? Have you ever dug it back up? I mean, if you do, you kind of got to, you know what you came ran into. Or maybe accidentally. Wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that an aromatic moment? There's one. Yeah. Did we enjoy that? And yet that's exactly what we want to do when we're still trying to deal with the past. My God, let the past go. I said, let it go. You know, can I interject this just real quick? Doesn't have anything to do with the message. But it's going to come anyway. You know, all the times we go and we're praying, God, you know, just forgive me for that. He says, he's thinking, what are you talking about? Because when he forgives us, you know, it's once and for all. And he's like, oh, but God, I know I had that thought. I had that attitude. And it's like he's thinking, what are you talking about? Because, I mean, the blood, the grace of God, the Holy Spirit says, hey, I got your back. Check it out. Son of God right here. Okay, got that? Oh, by the way, Holy Spirit says, you messed up, dude. Need to have a little encouragement. But no. It's all good. We've got to let that pass. Let the grace of God just move us forward. Okay. I thought, man, that would be good, but, you know, anyway. So anyway, Peter heard that it was the Lord who was asking about, you know, and you know the story. I mean, they said they didn't catch anything, and so Jesus said, well, you know, just throw the net on the other side. That's ridiculous. Throw the net on the other side of the boat. I mean, you're thinking the fish don't go to the other side of the boat? And what happened? They caught so many, they couldn't even hardly haul it in. Well, this is a little bit different story than the first time. First time, the nets broke. This time, it didn't. In fact, it even says that they caught 153 fish. I'll let your pastor tell you what that all means. It actually means something. Very significant. But I want to bring it out. That he said, throw your net on the other side of the boat and you'll get some. They did, and they couldn't even haul it all in because it was so much. And, you know, I'm just wondering if Jesus was testing their religious faith by recommending to do a different way of fishing. I mean, these guys were fishermen. Hello. They fished all night. Oh, yeah, why don't you go ahead and throw your net on the other side? Jesus just wants us to do something a little different. Get out of the routine. Because we tend to be creatures of habit. Oh, hey, that worked like that before. Let's do it again, you know. Three fast, two slow, bow, a holy hush, and whew, that was awesome. Let's do it again. And so 30 years later, we're still trying to do it. We haven't figured out that doesn't work anymore. Oops. That was next week's church. Sorry. Got my notes messed up. But how many times have we said, well, that's just not how we do things here. Well, that's not our culture. You know, we're quiet. Anyway, when Peter found out that it was the Lord, I mean, he jumped in the water and you know, he went to the shore. I mean, he let the other guys keep on hauling in the fish and all that. And when they got there, you know what they found? Breakfast is ready. Yeah. Grilled fish and bread, ready to go. Sounds good already, doesn't it? And yet Jesus said to the disciples, hey, bring me some of the fish you've caught. I got to thinking about that. Jesus, you got fish, you got bread. It's all on this charcoal here, smelling good. We fished all night. I'm hungry. I'm tired. Probably a little cold. I know I'm wet. Just came in from wading through. Hello? Why do you want some of my fish? I was just wondering if maybe just Jesus wanted to give Peter something to do, something to participate in. I mean, how many remember this? God gave the Garden of Eden to Adam. I mean, everything was perfect. I mean, everything you wanted to eat, everything was right there. But then he said, now you go take care of it. Go tend it. God always wants us to be participants of what he calls us to do. He'll give us what we need. He'll give us the provision. He'll give us the gifts. He'll give us the tools. He'll give us the finances if we're going to help people. But I mean, you know, it's we got to go first. We got to participate. I mean, even the children of Israel actually had to get up every stinking morning and gather manna. I mean, what's that? You know, we just think that we want the manna to come and actually be put in our cupboards. Thank you for your enthusiasm once again. I mean, I hope you apply these little sarcasms to, you know, what might fit, because a lot of times, come on, how many times have you gone to the mailbox expecting some supernatural check in the mail? What is that? Where did we get that idea? I mean, if you're not helping anybody, don't expect the check. Maybe it was just that Jesus wanted to get Peter prepared to have what he needed to go feed his sheep. Maybe it was like a tithe, you know? I know church love hearing the word tithe. You know what tithe is? A representation of your heart, your attitude. It's your relationship. And I'll just throw in, you know, I love the difference between the tithe of the Old Testament and the tithe of the New Testament. I'm going to... This is extra too. Jesus just simply said, oh, by the way, I want all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. Keep the 10%. Just give me all. Smile. Somebody wants to go back to the Old Testament now. Are you okay? It's, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why we lose sight of our first call. Our focus is on men and on fishing, but not on loving them. See, you know where we're going. You know the questions that Jesus asked Peter. We might be fishing for men. We might be out there focused on reaching people. But you know, the recall is now you have to love them. The recall is you need to feed them. Thank you for that holy hush. Because Jesus, you know, after breakfast and everything's cool and, you know, everybody's feeling kind of like, wow, Jesus is with us again. You know, we're going back to old times. Jesus asked Peter, so do you love these more than me? This is kind of where Jesus gets called. Remember, he was called from fishing to ministry. And now he's being recalled from fishing to re-ministry. Are you with me? To me, that's what's really happening here. Jesus is kind of saying, you know what? Let me sum it up this way before we move on. In essence, Peter, you idiot, you really messed up, didn't you? But you know what? I've already forgiven you. And by the way, the ministry I've called you to, I want to up it. Yeah. Now it's not just about fishing men. It's about feeding. It's about loving. It's about caring for them. Wait a minute. I just like totally messed up. And now you're... And what? See, it's not about even a lot of times we think about, do you love fishing more than me? He was a fisher of men. He just spent the last 3.5 years being a fisher of men. Do you love what you're doing now more than what I'm calling you to do now? See, we get stuck in, do you love this more than... me? Because actually, we need to understand what we're doing today, we should be training somebody to do. Thank you for your support on that one. We need to be training somebody to do what we do so that we can be recalled into re-ministry. I talk about it in the book. It's called push-pull leadership. As long as I'm pushing my leader, hey, move forward, dude. Get out of my way. Let's go forward. But not only that, I'm pulling somebody. Come on, right here. Re-ministry, where's everybody? Everybody's going forward. Three times Jesus asked Peter. Well, he allowed Peter to kind of get things fixed out. You know, and Peter knew he was weak. He knew he messed up. He knew he could fail and do as before. And I believe that that is why Peter couldn't say agape or agape. See, agape here? Okay. Jesus kept asking Peter, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter said, man, I love you like my best friend. Like a brother. No, do you love me unconditionally? And it wasn't that Peter didn't, it's that he couldn't because of the condemnation of what he was doing. I believe it was just so overwhelming. This is just my opinion. He just couldn't say, I love you unconditionally, because he's like... And so I believe that that Jesus was giving Peter this opportunity to kind of make things right. And in essence, this is what I believe. I believe Peter made it right.
Yeah.
How? What do you mean? He kept saying, do you love me like a friend? But what he was doing was admitting, I don't feel like that I can. But we all know that, wow, Peter turned the world upside down. He did finally realize that not only did Jesus... See, he wasn't even sure that Jesus could love him unconditionally. That's the problem. If we're not sure that Jesus loves us unconditionally, we'll not be able to love Jesus unconditionally. And if we can't love Jesus unconditionally, how are we going to love our neighbor? And this is that lesson in grace. I mean, Jesus is offering him more, even though he messed up. Because Jesus knows the heart that he has for us if we'll be willing to step out and to help others. Because that's what Jesus was calling Peter to do. Help others. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Take care of those that need. I mean, you know, being called sheep is not exactly, you know, the sweetest thing Jesus could compare us to. Y'all know that, right? Y'all know that, right? How many knows that a rat is smarter than a cow? And a cow is smarter than a sheep? Hello.
Yeah, it is.
It's just something wrong with that. And then Jesus calls us sheep. Because he knows that we need to be cared for. But the beauty of it is he calls us to help others.
Yes.
It's like only Jesus would call the blind to lead the blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the sense that, what are we outside of his grace, his love, and his mercy? Can we be used to help other people? It's the condemnation of religion that makes us feel that we do not deserve forgiveness or that we don't deserve his love. That condemnation that comes from religion, we find it hard to love our neighbor, hard to accept that we have been called into the ministry to help others. It's like, no, you know, I can. I'm just fine. You know, I'll just go to church. I know, you know, I'm saved, and that's all I can ever do. It's not. There's never a date that it's too late to be recalled.
That's right.
Because it's nothing that we do in ourselves. It's always his anointing. It's always his grace. And we're always called to help someone else.
Yes.
Do we love what we're doing today more than doing something more? Sometimes we get caught up in what we're doing, and we love doing what we're doing more than the one we're doing it for. The one who has called us. Listen, I'm just saying, this is the general attitude of the church today. Oh yeah, I love my church. I love my church. I love the people of my church. And that's it. Just, well, you're kind of weird. Don't come. And so they end up loving what they're doing doing church more than they love the one who has called them. Jesus spent a whole lot more time with the weird people than he did with the cool people. Thank God. Here's the deal. I'm going to throw this in. I don't know how we are on time. I got to get to the end. Let me see. I haven't come to conversely yet, but I'm close. Up until now, and I believe this is just my, this is where I'm at. I believe that if we'll take this, we can reach people by the thousands. Up until now, we've been catching one little fish. And basically what that is, if you'll let me say this, a dying fish. We've been capturing, you know, church has been growing, you know, one desperate person at a time. And you happen to be there at the right place at the right time. If you'd have been a Muslim, they would have been a Muslim. People are so desperate for a solution in the world we're living. They'll accept anything that is outside of where they are, outside something more than who they are. And okay, and that's how we've been catching fish. One dying fish at a time, like we were when we came. But I have seen entire communities come to Christ by this principle that we're talking about. Because we go and we just serve, we just help. Well, what? Why are you doing that? Last week we went to a community for the first time. We had it all set up. I mean, we was there. We'd visited. We're going to be here. We're going to give you clothes. We're going to give you food. We're going to give you toys to the kids. We're going to give you some medicine. We're going to give you some deparasite medicine for the children and for the adults that need it. All you got to do is come and show up to this place. And when we got there, some of the people from one portion of the community didn't come because time after time, political organizations, religious organizations had gone and done all the same thing. And then when the time came, never showed up. So they didn't come out. We had to go get them. It's like, you actually came to our place. Yeah. I mean, what a time. I mean, the whole village. Oh, you know, it was a major, major city. There was 25 families. But we just touched an entire community. Do you think they'll ever be the same? They wanted to know why we're doing that. It's interesting. When I was interviewed a couple weeks ago by all of the major networks as we were doing a Life in Action event, doing some wheelchairs for special wheelchairs for invalid people. And the reporters kept saying, and you're a pastor, right? Yeah. Why are you doing this? I mean, I had to analyze the question. I'm thinking, is this a trick question? Because we, you know, as the church, we're called to help people's needs. Wow. And at no cost to why would you do that? Let me repeat myself. You know, I didn't really get that sarcastic, but I wanted to be sarcastic, you idiot. I just got through telling you. It's the call of the church to help people. I didn't. You understand? I just said, because God has called us. No pastors ever talk like that. They always talk about their crusade, the thing that they're going to do. You know, I'm just a fish a little bit weird. But that is how we reach communities, by finding out what they need. I mean, I love what you guys are doing. You know, 100 and some families this week. Let me tell you what, that's nothing. That's great. But apart from great, that's still nothing. There's still a recall. There's still more team members. There's still more to get involved. It's amazing. You let people know that you're helping people, people just get on board. Because honestly, it is in our nature, our God-given nature, to help people. It's the religion, it's the church that's made it selfish. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Let me help you. Let me say this. If your eyes are fixed on your situations, you'll wonder if Jesus loves you. Oh my God. I got this problem. I got this debt. I got this problem. I don't know why we have debt in the first place. But anyway, go like that. Say that again. just to kind of get that, you know, cleared out for lunch. And, you know, I got my kids, I got this, I got all these obligations. And, you know, and if you just keep looking at your situations and then you try to pray, you'll even wonder, Jesus, do you even love me? I mean, my God, look at all this stuff. But you keep your eyes on the cross. Oh, sorry. Conversely, if you keep your eyes on the cross instead of your situations, you'll have no doubt that Jesus loves you. And you'll know no matter what, He'll always love you. You'll know no matter what, He will never leave you. Listen, we're always going to have circumstances. I said we're always going to have circumstances. Circumstances happen. I like that adaptation. The question is, do you love Jesus? Oh, don't answer me yet, because everybody says yes, especially on Sunday morning. Do you love Jesus? Well, yeah. But are you willing to leave your past in the past? Are you willing, as Peter did, to admit your weaknesses, to receive the love that Jesus has for us to serve? See, that's how we can serve others. When we no longer are in that doubt, that condemnation, that Jesus really loves me unconditionally, once we can accept that love unconditionally, to serve others is just a demonstration of that love. It now is not a challenge. It's not difficult to take what you have in your cupboard to give to someone who has nothing, even though that it may even be the last thing in your cupboard. I have seen it. We have seen it through over the last 15 years doing this. We have testimony after testimony of poor people taking the last pound of beans that they have in their house to go give to someone else, only to find that God had a blessing already waiting for them. And how many times have we stopped up the blessing of God to keep this thing flowing? Because, I mean, that's my last pound of beans. That's my last $100. I mean, I might need that this week. You might, but you probably could use the whatever other blessing God has for you that you just stopped up. We need to take a spiritual Herblax. A TIV. I'm going to have to put that in my notes for... Yeah. Jeez, or you can edit it out for anything in the future. Jesus wanted Peter to know that he was forgiven and that he loved him. And that he had a purpose for him to help others. See, a lot of times it's the very thing that we're fighting against in our own lives that God wants to use to bring us life. See, for Peter it was fishing. That was the struggle. To identify with fishing, and how to identify that with his call. What's your struggle? Seriously, ask yourself, what is that struggle that's within me? What is the very thing that I'm fighting against that God wants to use to bring me life? The very thing that Peter fought against was, in the end, the very thing that brought him the life that he needed to be able to help and reach so many people. This is the same Peter that when he came to the gate, listen, I got no problem. I mean, I don't have any silver. But I mean, I'm not worried about that. Why don't I just give you what Jesus has? And be healed. Nobody's been, to my knowledge, been healed by, you know, my shadow walking by him. To my knowledge, probably a good thing, right? But I know that for us, when we find a person, because, I mean, in Honduras, because there's so much malnutrition, so much birth defect and so forth. I mean, we've given thousands of these wheelchairs away, and we have a list of thousands of people waiting in line. But when you come to a person that cannot walk, I don't have everything you have that you need in your life, but I have a wheelchair, and I'll give you this wheelchair. As long as you'll recognize that every day it was God who gave you that wheelchair. Will you do that? To me, that's a miracle, because where do we get the wheelchair? Well, somebody gave it to us. Well, where did they get it? They were on a mission trip. Listen to the story. They were on a mission trip and saw people in need. He went home and designed this chair, starting out with a plastic chair and bicycle tires. instead of a $500 wheelchair, this could be made now for like $86. So you get donors to spend their donation, and then they ship us, for example, us. I mean, they're doing it all over the world. They ship us a container, 550 of them. Now go give them away. Oh, yeah, but we got to pay the money to get the container out. We got to pay the money to go deliver it. I mean, we got to go way out in the stinking mountain in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Wait a minute. We can't do that. Or can we? And we open up that flow. This year we're giving out 1,100. We're receiving two containers. We're going to give out, help me with it, I think it's somewhere around 6 million meals this year. You know how that all started? Yeah, we had 50 pounds of beans and 100 pounds of rice, and some corn. And we went out and we helped about five different families, and that's how it started out. In 2000. And now in 2014, we're going to give out three containers full of food, of meals, two containers of wheelchairs. We're going to provide three different communities that have no water with water, and we're going to do about a half a dozen medical clinics to just help people, at least. How did that all start out? Well, that first 50 pounds of beans, 100 pounds of corn, not 50 pounds of rice, something like that. That was it. I mean, we were big time. We loaded up our pickup. I mean, you don't load up a pickup with that. But it starts with meeting someone's need. We've got to stop fighting against the thing that God wants to use to bring us life. My argument was, God, we don't even have enough money to pay the bills to buy the food for our kids that we have. How in the world are we going to do this? Just do it. And you know what happened? At the end of the year, we still had food for our kids. Where did that come from? It's amazing what God can do if we can open that flow up just to help other people. You know, it's about giving, but it's not about giving. It's just about living. It's just about being in ministry. It's just about what can I do? Anybody ever wonder what happens to the two geese that stay back to help the one? Now the three of them have got to fly all by them lonesomes. What a sacrifice. In the church, oh wow, he's sick and weakly. Well, it's kind of weird anyway. Oh, it sounds funny, but how many knows it's true? Can't really help them anyway. They never were exactly really with us. How many people have not received the love of Jesus because, I admit, they're strange. But you know what I found out? This was a hard lesson. I'm strange. It's really called unique. And God will use our uniqueness. I had to find the English word there for a second. You see, the call to serve His kingdom, His church, does not lessen over time. Are you with me? Our call, actually, our response ability. Are you with me? See, think about the word responsibility. Our responsibility actually increases. Our ability to respond. Our response ability really actually increases. Just simply look to see where there is a need and meet the need.